Welcome to That 590 Show. I am your host, Matt Berger, alongside Matt Rocchio. John Giamatti Rudolph is your Friday evening DJ. All you ladies out there shaking it, you're shaking it to the Giamatti groove. Hope everybody's having a fantastic Friday afternoon. Maybe you're on your way to Busch Stadium for an indeterminate amount of innings tonight because the way the radar is looking, it is not looking good. They're going to start the game, not sure if they're going to finish it. If you're on your way, make sure you pack an umbrella or a poncho or a chamois or all three. The Bellman Automotive phone line is available at 855-282-8255. The text line, 855-282-8255. You can add us on Twitter, at 590 show, at Matt underscore Berger, at Rock 590, and at John Rudolph 22. Joining us at 620 will be Lisa Hart, anchor for Fox 2 at 4 a.m. Pete Jensen from the NHL Network will be at 640. And then at 7 o'clock, our friend Kevin Brackett, film critic for RealSpoilers.com. All guests appear courtesy of Bellman Automotive, BellmanCDJR.com. So as we were talking about, the Cars and Giants will start a weekend series tonight at 7 o'clock. Peralta has been called up from AAA Memphis. Mag Sierra, who was at single A Palm Beach, will now be going to double A Springfield. So the Cardinals are going to be rolling with three outfielders tonight, and one of them, Dexter Fowler, has a bad shoulder. So they're playing with fire a little bit, I think the Cardinals are tonight.
Johnny Peralta played three games in left field in 2013.
Well, I mean, don't forget they got Matt Adams, too.
Dear God.
Who
played three games in left field in 2017.
Okay, see, here's the thing is that I was mocking Matt Adams playing left field when there was no reason to play Matt Adams in left field. But let's say Dexter Fowler injures his shoulder again tonight, God forbid. Let's hope he doesn't.
No one criticized Matheny when he brought in Adams for that one. When everyone went
down. That's the thing.
When Fowler and Piscotty went down with their original injuries, no one criticized Matheny.
No, people were criticizing
Martinez was already hurt. He had to put Adams in left field.
Logical, but that's the next thing. That's the reason why you would put Matt Adams in left field.
Yes.
The last time this happened, when Piscotty went down with an injury, and then Dexter Fowler went down with an injury. So who they put in left field? They put Elidmas Diaz out there. I'm like, why don't you put Matt Adams out there? That's why you did this. Anyway.
Well, Matheny had dinner scheduled already with Mo that night. He was like, I'm not messing up the apple cart.
The San Francisco Giants are having a bit of a rough year ever since Madison Bumgarner went down with that dirt bike. It was a dirt bike injury. Wasn't that what it was?
Yeah, I mean, they haven't been able to win away from San Francisco all year.
No, they've been
terrible.
That's
the big thing is they're really bad away.
They're 6-15 away from home. They have a combined ERA of 5.82 on the road compared to 3.12 at home. San Francisco was 11-10 at home and 6-15 on the road. Matt Moore, who was really good in 2013 and really hasn't been very good since, he's had a lot of trouble on the road this year. He's 0-3 with a 10.50 ERA. If his ERA got any higher, he'd be in the Cardinals bullpen.
Oh, where's the bell? We need some kind of sounder for that one.
Where's my...
Bum, 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 bum.
Thank you. There's my applause.
Boo.
Waka, who... What do you mean, boo?
It was a good joke.
Thank you. Waka, who is 1-0 and four career starts against the Giants, and he has a 1.88 ERA. So small sample size. But statistically, you have to like the way the Cardinals are looking tonight. Someone I know, he always likes the way he looks. I guarantee you he always likes the way he looks. And that's Mr. 99.9%. Mark joins us on the Bellman Automotive phone line. Mark, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. How about you, gentlemen?
Good, sir. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I wanted to talk. I know you saw that game the other night with the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Boston Celtics. And remember, we was trying to tell Rocchio, Isaiah Thomas, he's a good player, man. He's an okay player in my book. I wouldn't call him a franchise player, but it's just obvious. LeBron looked like a man among boys out there.
Well,
it was just a shame how he just dominated them.
LeBron took apart the Celtics regardless of size. It didn't matter who it was. I mean, Al Horford, if it was Kelly Olynyk, if it was Marcus Smart, I mean, yeah, Isaiah Thomas, he was picking Isaiah Thomas out of his belly button.
I mean, yeah, Claudio said it last night. He thinks this is the best he's ever seen LeBron James
play
in his NBA career,
right.
Which is that's terrifying when you think about it. The crazy thing is LeBron James has played over a season worth of games in the conference finals and the NBA finals. That well, is but, preposterous.
He, Rocky, yo, you
he's so he still has so much time on his legs, and he's still just getting better. I mean, I don't know
but,
how it's
but
happening.
Rocky, it's beautiful. Rocky, yo, remember when he was taking all those games off during the regular season? This is the reason for that.
Yeah, of course.
That's
it
why
is.
I didn't have any problem with
but,
that,
I
mean, man.
Even so, the guy's got multiple extra seasons on his legs because he played so many playoff games. The fact that he's maintaining would be a storyline even with those days off. The fact that he's better than ever, even considering those days off, it's still astronomical. It's still unfathomable.
If you go back to last year,
because it's his shooting that's gotten better.
If you go back to last year when they won the last three games of the NBA Finals and then the playoffs this year, LeBron James has not lost a game in the NBA playoffs, and he has averaged something like 38 points, 10 rebounds, and 8 assists. That's what he's averaged since then. And everybody's talking about this is what set LeBron off is Draymond Green calling him a Bia. Draymond Green on the court called him a Bia. And from what I've been hearing, that's the last thing to call LeBron. Like, he gets more angry about that than anything else. He goes, no, I'm not. I'm a man. I'm a father. And ever since Draymond Green called him that, that's when he's gone off. And he has not lost a game in the playoffs since.
Yeah, I was just watching him the other night. I was like, man, this is not even fair, man. The way he just manhandling in Boston.
And if Boston, was going to win a game, that was going to be the one to win, because LeBron on the game ones on the road in the playoffs until that night, I think he was like 1-9 or 1-10. So he's not very good in game ones on the road in the playoffs. So if Boston was going to steal a game, that was going to be the one, and we all saw how that happened. Boston might as well start thinking about what they're going to do with that number one draft pick and whether or not they're going to keep Isaiah Thomas, because the Eastern Conference Finals are over, Jack. They are over.
Oh, no, poor them. They have to leave the playoffs in this late round, and they get to think about the number one overall draft pick.
I'm not saying you need to feel sorry for him. I'm not suggesting that at all.
Even when you're getting steamrolled, life's still good.
But the thing is that we talked about this last night with Claudio.
It's not going to be enough.
They're not even close.
What they could do, depending on what they do with Isaiah, if they do flip him for somebody else, that'd be the interesting thing, because I think there's also the guys they flip him for. It would bring them to degrees of closeness, I should say. If they're able to flip Isaiah for Paul George, which I doubt happens, that puts them really close. But if they're only able to flip Isaiah for Gordon Hayward, I think that's a completely different discussion.
Well,
than they were able to get Paul
I think this
George.
Is what's going to happen. I think you're going to see Gordon Hayward go to Boston, because that's where his college coach is, and Brad Stevens. And I think you're probably going to see Paul George go to Los Angeles to play
that's
for the
true,
Lakers.
Yeah, and Gordon Hayward can opt out this year, so he probably could walk away this year, and they got the time. I mean, that's the thing. That's the crazy thing is they're in the Eastern Conference Finals. They have the number one overall pick, and that we're still having a conversation about how that's not even going to be enough to put them close to LeBron James and the Cavaliers. That's crazy.
If you look at this, the game, man, it's Boston's not even close to nowhere close to Cleveland.
Not even close.
Talent, you know, it's not even close, man. So, like I said, I would if I was Boston, I'd get rid of Isaiah Thomas, get him, trade him, man. Get 5'9" guy's not going to lead you to a championship, no matter how good he is. He's not going to lead you to a championship. Okay, ask Allen Iverson about that. The little man trying to lead you to a championship. It's not going to happen, man.
And you saw what happened when he tried to guard LeBron. That's what the average person. That's what the average person would look like trying to guard LeBron. Because the average height of the American male is around Isaiah Thomas's height, which is like 5'9", 5'10".
I'm going to put a little disclaimer on your statement there, Mark, because I think you pointed out Allen Iverson and look who he fell to. You can't win with a 5'9" guy if you have to go up against teams with multiple Hall of Famers. And unfortunately now, if you're playing in the NBA Finals, it's because you have three Hall of Famers on your team. So you're right. You can't win with Isaiah Thomas, because even when Allen Iverson was dragging a team, he had to go up against Kobe and Shaq. You're not gonna go up against a team without that two Hall of Famers now in the NBA Finals. That's how it's gonna be for the next 5 years. Everyone's gonna be buddying up. It's gonna be multiple Hall of Famers on every team we see in the finals. It's unfortunate, but I just have a feeling it's what we're gonna see over the next years.
And what it's done is that it's made the finals really exciting.
Yeah.
But the regular season is going to be boring, and like you still always look forward to the NBA playoffs. Maybe one of the top seeds are going to get knocked off, or the top team is going to get knocked off. And this year, the playoffs have been terrible.
And yet, ratings haven't gone down.
Ratings have still been high, and let's cut to the chase here. It's going to be Cleveland and Golden State in the NBA Finals, and when that happens again, the records are going to be astronomical.
You're a big NBA fan, Mark. Have you left the TV on when these games have gotten out of hand? Just had it playing in the background, or have you just turned it off?
To be honest, I just turned it off. There's no need to watch it. San Antonio game. I don't know if San Antonio, but I just couldn't watch that, man. That was horrible. It was horrible basketball.
I agree, but when
they stepped out on the court, they was already defeated. They might as well just stayed in the locker room and not even showed up.
I ask only because I figure for the ratings to have to still be where they were at in previous years or even better, I figured it would have to be people just letting the games play in the background and not turning them off, because I just can't figure out how more people are watching this round of playoffs than even last year's. It doesn't make any sense to me. So I'm just trying to figure it out. Mark's turning it off. How is no one else doing that? Because the only way I can figure ratings are anywhere near the same is because people just leave the TV on.
Either that or they're probably just leaving the TV on and then they're, going in the other room and doing the dishes.
No one's watching this from minute 1 to minute 48. There's no point.
They've been so bad. They've been so bad. But at least have a good night, Mark.
Okay.
At least we got three games this weekend. You have Cleveland-Boston game 2 tonight, and then Cleveland-Boston game 3 on Sunday, and then you have game 3 between Golden State and San Antonio tomorrow night. So at least you got three games this weekend.
San Antonio's talking about game 4 for Kawhi. I'm a little surprised that with this break, we're not having a conversation about Kawhi in game 3. I honestly think, man, if Kawhi was – if he was able to be at full strength on Saturday, I might hedge on the Spurs because the Warriors are coming off a 36-point drubbing and – multiple days rest because of how wonky the schedule was.
I think that Kawhi Leonard's going to play tomorrow night. I think this is Greg Popovich trying to play a little possum with his player. That's just my guess. Back to the game at Busch Stadium tonight. The Cardinals and the Giants. Here's your starting lineup for the St. Louis Cardinals. Cardinals, you have Fowler, Pham, Carpenter, Jurco, Molina, Diaz, Grichuk, Wong, and Waka is the starting lineup for them. And then for the San Francisco, almost said the 49ers again. For the San Francisco Giants, you have Spahn, Panic, Belt, Posey, Crawford, Nunez, Arroyo, Williamson, and Moore.
The big thing you're hoping for tonight is can you take advantage of the Giants' poor play away from San Francisco this year? And also, can Michael Waka continue his consistent appearances so far? He's gone at least six innings, five of his six starts. His sixth start, he went 6 2/3. So he's been getting to that benchmark you want him to get to. He's been under 100 pitches each time. There's been a few fluctuations, obviously, in how many runs he's allowed. But can we continue to see a consistent Michael Waka, especially after we saw a 12-day break between his last start and today?
I think Waka's been pleasantly surprising this year.
I think more than pleasantly surprising. I think maybe cautiously optimistic about him right now because we're only six starts into the season and because he just had a break. We don't know, was it just because of a blister or what have you?
No, I don't think it was that. I think they just wanted to arrest him. I think they were kind of like, look,
There was a little thing where he was getting his fingers looked at at the end of his last start.
That could
start.
Be too.
I'm just saying. But there's still a little cautious optimism because of how all the struggles he had in previous years. But nonetheless, six starts consistent, six innings per start. Can you continue it? That's all you want to see. So, yeah, I'd say it's definitely, a big surprise how well Michael Waka has played.
When would you rather have Michael Waka on the mound? Would you rather have him on the mound now, or would you rather have him on the mound in August and September when their games have a little more gravitas?
Well, obviously you want to see the health there, but, the guy's got to get to a point where he can pitch 150 to 200 innings if he's going to be part of this team in the future, so let's go.
I'm still trying to wrap my head on why they sent down Mag Sierra and called up Johnny Peralta when they only have three outfielders and Steven Piscotty's not ready to go yet. I guess maybe it's kind of a calculated risk that you're not going to injure an outfielder tonight and you're expecting Steven Piscotty to be back either with the club tomorrow or Sunday. It's the only thing I can think of. Otherwise, it really doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
I maybe they're just not that worried about if somebody gets hurt. Maybe they're confident that for a few innings in a game like this in Busch Stadium, they can be In the field, they know. In the field, these guys are going to know they can get away with playing Matt Adams or Johnny Peralta out there for, you know, a few innings. I don't like it. I think, but my bigger question is, why is this an issue? What is Matheny's obsession with keeping 13 pitchers? Good God Almighty!
Because he learned at the altar of Tony La Russa.
Yeah, and the reason why. And La Russa had one playoff series where it made sense.
But I mean,
the last time he managed for the St. Louis Cardinals.
Because that's what they do. You come like what caller Jim said last night. You have Matt Bowman come out and he throws 10 pitches and then thanks, see you later. I mean, that's he learned at the altar of Tony La Russa. That's why he did that. That's why he continues to do it. We talked about it last night with JJ Bailey, like the most maddening thing that the people who dislike Mike Matheny the most. The most maddening thing about it is how he handles the bullpen. And that's probably the most important thing that a manager has to do, is basically manage the bullpen, set the lineup, and just kind of like set the tone in the clubhouse too. Make sure that everybody stays focused and everybody knows what the role is on the team. That's what the manager's supposed to be doing. I think the most important thing to do, though, obviously, is manage the bullpen, and that's the most questionable thing that he does.
Yeah, I mean, especially when you consider the fact that he hasn't really changed the lineup this year very much.
No, he really hasn't because there's been a lot of
on it.
He has, and there's been a lot of injured players too. So sometimes it's been kind of out of necessity. I mean, he's moved them up and down the order a little bit, but for the most part, it's been the same players playing. For the first time this evening, we are going to go to that 590 Show Sports Update Desk on our very own Matt Rocchio.
And as Berger said, Cardinals and Giants tonight. First pitch is set for 7:15. Michael Wacha taking on the lefty, Matt Moore. In action right now on the baseball diamond. They're finally out of the delay in Chicago. And the Brewers have pushed their lead out to 3. They're leading 6-3 here in the top of the 8th. The Blue Jays and the Orioles will not get started. That one is delayed. So if there are going to be any fireworks tonight in that game, you'll have to wait a few hours to see how that plays out. The Pirates have jumped out to a 1-0 lead over the Phillies in the bottom of the first. And the Rockies, an early 2-0 lead over the Reds in the first frame, the top of the first frame there, starting that one off strong. Tonight, the Cavaliers and the Celtics, game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Amir Johnson is out of the starting lineup for the Celtics, and Gerald Green will start in his place. And tonight, the Penguins and the Senators, game 4 of their Eastern Conference series in the Stanley Cup playoff spot in the Stanley Cup Finals is what they're playing for. Senators lead that series 2-1, and as the Penguins try to even it up, they will change the goaltender as Marc-Andre Fleury is out and Matt Murray is in. I'm Matt Rocchio with your 590 Sports Report.
Thank you very much, Matt Rocchio. Let's take a commercial break, and then coming up on the other side, we're going to be joined by Lisa Hart from Fox 2 at 4 a.m. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com.